Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Timmy Strata, and you're listening to MMALatestNews.com.
It's time to roll, baby.
Straight after this fight.
Shut up. Yes, everyone, what's going on? Fight Out of Manchester podcast. And he's just introduced himself, hasn't he? We have got the world's... Nah, hang on, I can't even build this up enough because it sounds like I'm lying, doesn't it? As I'm saying this now, I feel like this is a lie, but we have got the world's pound for pound number one amateur in the world.
How's that feel?
Mohamed Makaev.
Hello.
Welcome, bro. You're going to have to get a lot closer to the mic, though.
Closer, yeah?
Yep, that'll do, yeah. Pound for pound number one. How does that feel?
Feels good. Feels amazing.
So you won the IMFs?
Yeah.
Juniors won it. For Euros,
you
know, and Worlds?
Were you there?
No, wasn't there for it. Okay. Which was it?
In Bahrain, November last year.
No, it was the year before I was there. What? Okay. Where was the Euros that you won?
In Rome? Italy.
In Rome, yeah. No, I missed that one as well. I was in Bulgaria, I went. Yeah. So, yeah, European and world. And you've also got some titles in wrestling as well, haven't you?
Wrestling, yeah.
Tell us all your titles now, just so we can start there and then move forward.
European world, I'm a world champion. 16 wins, no losses. British wrestling 5 times champion. European BJJ junior champion. And
have you ever thought about just going and seeing if you can get like one of the area titles or something in boxing just to like complete the set?
I tried white collar. About 5-6 fights I did white
collar. Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
how'd that go?
I win, like, but these people like just come for swing, aren't they?
Yeah.
So there's a different level. Whereas ABA is another level. You know, if I try boxing, ABA, for example, technical. Is technical, yeah.
I mean, in terms of like how to do MMA, to go down the road you're going is the way to do it now. You know, you're going through IMAFs, you're doing your five-time British champion wrestler. You've also, you know, you've done the white-collar boxing. And it's like, I think you're an example now of how far the sport has come. And the way you're doing it now with the IMAFs and you're traveling the world, you've got international experience, even at amateur. I mean, for example, the difference between when me and you was an amateur, when I started, there was none of that. And I just think now, I mean, the reason I wanted you on here today was to explain, like, the amateur process, going to Bahrain, what was it like, and the way you've been looked after over there. So first of all, kind of talk me through the first time you entered this tournament and how it felt out there, and you told me you were really looked after.
Yeah, first time I went to Bahrain in November, it's big experience. It's like, because I was competing before in jiu-jitsu, wrestling and all this, so it wasn't like wow for me, you know, big surprise. There's a morning weigh-ins, like medicals, everything, and the Prince of Bahrain like been following me like since 2014.
Wow.
Like on Instagram, and it was like big turn for me that going there and competing at the World Championships like in 2018. It's like 4 years after he followed me, so it was nice to meet him in real life now.
He's a proper MMA head as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he look after guys like he carry like buckets, you know, for the like.
Yeah, we said this last week.
You told me that. He was saying that.
For the corner and like, yeah. Imagine like Prince Harry carrying bucket.
Don't make sense, does it? No. That's it. This literally, he carries a spit bucket.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
Wow. Yeah. And imagine, anyway, go on.
Yeah. And like, you're going through the medicals. So if you fight one day, second day, they make you do push-ups and like squats. If you fail this, you don't fight.
Really?
So they check your knuckles, everything.
Jeez,
they check.
Great.
Check your heart rate, check your nose, thighs. So that's it. If you like...
And there's a lot that get pulled from fights as well.
Yeah, it's loads.
Right, brilliant.
So it's not just have to make weight, you have to stay like... Like, show them what you can do.
Yeah,
press-ups,
of course.
You know?
No, that's good. I agree with it. So then, do you weigh in the morning or is it a day?
In the morning. There's 6 till 8 in the morning weigh-ins.
Yep.
6 a.m. till 8 a.m. So you have to stand in your queue like from like 5:40.
Oh.
So you have to go sleep with your weight. So there's not much time to cut
and
weight.
And did
in
you do fly or bantam?
Bantamweight, yeah. I did bantamweight.
Okay.
So no cut for you at bantam, is there?
Not much. I did just follow a good diet. I don't like water cut. I never do water cut.
Even
now? Even like for this fight. I rather do
format, you
good
can't,
diet.
You can't consecutive days if you're not that way.
But if you're doing a camp leading up to a single fight, you still don't do the water cut?
No.
Wow.
No. I rather lift like 2-3 kilograms, but I can't do this in 2-3 sessions. I'd rather do training instead of doing ice bath. I mean, hot bath.
Yeah.
And
it's not nice, is it?
No, this is like last thing you can
do.
Yeah, and then you do medical, you do weighing 6 till 8, then you go straight to like medicals whilst you're weighing in and medicals next step. So you weighing, all this takes about 1 hour. Stand in your queue, take the kit, you get new gloves every fight. You get new gloves and new shin pads every fight, so you can't take a hotel and change them or something.
That's brilliant. And people will do that, trust me.
But it's a professional setup, isn't it? And we're saying last time we was on, they close the motorway, give you a police escort from the hotel to the stadium. It's outrageous, mate. It'll blow your mind off. I honestly think you should just go what's going on.
I've heard enough now.
Just go and corner him while he's there.
Yeah, innit? Get out there. It's big. How many fights in one day?
So you do like 6 to 8 weigh-ins, then you go to sleep a little bit, and coach setting off at 10 o'clock from hotel today. So it's like half an hour drive today, and 11 o'clock bang on. Always like 11 o'clock starts fight.
Yep.
So I'm one of the first. So warm. Don't need much warm up because it's like 40 degrees there. Wow, so with t-shirt, like warming up and feeling good. And if you have a fight, you go back hotel, relax. Mm-hmm. Make sure your weight stays down and ready for next day as well.
What's the recovery like when it's in that? Because I imagine the temptation to just go and eat trash food and just rehydrate your head must be massive.
After fight, you mean?
So you win one fight, you've got to think. Yeah.
I think it's to calm your brain down, it's to go sleep.
Yeah.
You wake up, you're like, okay, tomorrow is a big day. It's only like 3 days left. That's it. You take this, you're world champion.
One fight per day?
Yeah, per day, yeah.
One fight. And stay on weight. Weigh in every morning.
Yeah, there was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday fight.
Yeah.
Friday was a rest. There was a Brave FC on it with Ahmad FC together. Friday we had a rest, so weight goes up. You know, so on Saturday you have to make 61.2 again on the final day.
So talk me through your opponents, how you felt. So first day you got, who did you fight?
First day I fought Russia from Dagestan.
No way.
First ever.
Your own country.
You know what's interesting? Because when I came to UK, people like back in Russia, in Dagestan, people say, you go on there because it's easier, you know, it's easier fights, you build your record, you build on all this. And this guy was number one in Russia. So to get selected from Russia, it's not easy like in UK, you know. You have to beat everybody, like in the bracket about 300 people, so you have to be number one. So this guy, number
Russia
one.
Russia sent the right team.
Yeah, this guy coming, and first round, 37 seconds, choke him out. Took him down, take his back, choke him.
You felt so good after all that talk, saying.
Yeah, I felt good. After this, I didn't even like care about the rest of the fight.
Yeah,
because this for me meant a lot. Like people, everybody watching, like Dagestani versus Dagestani in the World Championships. You know.
Did he say anything to you about representing England?
Who?
Does anybody from Dagestan say like why you're representing them and not representing it?
Of course, not many people happy about this. But
really,
like it's like. What does Russia do for Dagestani people? You know, there's separation like between Dagestan and Russia inside. Mm-hmm. Russia, there's like, we're a darker side and Russia is a whiter side.
Mm-hmm.
So what Russia does for Dagestan? Nothing. So why should I... If there was separate country of Dagestan, I wouldn't mind. Of course, it's like I would represent them. But lifting Russian flag, I couldn't do that.
Really? Yeah. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like I beat this guy and then I fought Mexican.
Okay.
No, I fight Kazakhstan. Good boxer. Very good. Like, tan.
So the first guy was a wrestler, kind of, I'm guessing. Well-rounded.
Sambo.
From Dagestan. I'll give three guesses.
Yeah. So then you fought...
Definitely no boxer from Dagestan.
Kazakhstan boxer. Which are well-known for boxing. Obviously, we've got GGG.
Yeah, Golovkin, yeah. Then Kazakhstan, unanimous decision. I win.
Mm-hmm. How'd that fight go?
30-27, just same.
Taking him
punch,
down,
take down, smash.
Nice.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. Third fight was tough. Because I had decision with Kazakhstan, so I was tight next day. It's Mexican.
How
guy.
Was your body?
Like aching, but ice bath and after this. Also, you have to weight goes up every day as well.
You can't even eat to recover.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's got to be torture.
Yeah. The Mexican guy, very, very like cardio next level. Like Tony Ferguson.
Right.
You know, it's like coming, doing mad stuff. He actually won just seniors Pan Americans, this guy who I beat, Mexican. He just won IMAF seniors in Pan American Championships. And he came like 3 rounds. I beat him as well. Third round, I suplex him. And after this, I don't know, like round finish, I sit down. This guy stood up with flag, still got energy. I was like...
He thought he won?
Yeah, he thought he won, and I was like, this guy crazy.
Was it a close fight?
It wasn't. It was 30-27 as well, decision.
So what was
but he's like, he showed that he's got energy.
Got you.
But showed this energy in the fight, after the fight, you know. And final.
Was it the Japanese guy? Yeah, I seen that picture. So how was that?
Japanese guy was tough. Like, it was that much to knock me out.
Like, oh, did
I shoot, he sprawled and like head kick straight came and he didn't rock me, like it went like fly that way. Like on the
He looked like quite wrong.
He's good. Fighter, like. He's very good.
Well, listen, if we're talking about four fights and you're saying the closest you got was a head kick that just missed you, you think you did all right in there?
Yeah. Japanese guy, he's an Oceanic gold medalist, IMF. And I win him, I beat him unanimous decision as well and met him in the European Championships again in the final. Same guy.
Jeez.
Yeah, this guy's good. This guy's very so, southpaw, you know.
So how did that fight go, the final?
In Bahrain?
This guy, yeah, you fought the Japanese guy Japanese in guy, the final. How did it feel after having all them fights? How did your body feel? You said you had a day off. Did you have to, like, cut a bit of weight again? And how was the nerves going into the final, knowing that? So you're a world champion if you win.
You know, on Friday, there was Brave UFC.
Yeah, so you
it
went
was a
that.
Race. So I was. There was Khabib. There was, like, president of Chechen. Everybody was there. Imagine this and watching this and you're thinking, you cannot lose in the final. If you lose, it's like, if you not beat these guys, how you imagine yourself in, you know, in bigger organizations? You have to be ready to beat these guys, like nice, you know, like 30-27, at least if it's not knockout, you know.
And how did the fight go with him, with the Japanese guy?
Unanimous decision, beat him. Yeah.
Same again?
Same again, yeah.
So did you even drop a round?
No.
In the whole thing?
No.
I think, do you know what? It's really basic to say that your style mimics very much what Khabib does. But it does.
Yeah.
And you've not trained with Khabib, have you?
No, I haven't.
Where does that style come from then? Is that just pure Dagestan culture? Because when I watch you, I'd love to be able to say, it does this totally different. But I see you push people up into the corner. I see you mount the legs. I see you take away one of the pillars. And I see you just smashing, basically. Yeah. And I can easily see why every single fight that you're going into is going to either be some sort of ground and pound finish or 30-27 right across the board.
Yep.
I think your striking's probably a little bit more dynamic than Khabib's, I would say. But that style of, like, if I had to just guess what you was going to do in every single fight, I know what you're going to do. You're going to close the distance, push him up against the cage, and it just looks like a mini Khabib. And obviously the thumbnail that we've got, you've got wearing the same wig and everything. Like, how do you feel about that comparison? Did you mind it? I mean, obviously you're both undefeated. It's a very effective way of fighting, let's be honest with ourselves. Yeah. Where does that style come from? Yeah. How do you feel about it?
I think because I fight on the street too much.
Really?
Like back
so,
home.
Yeah, like, so, yeah, as well, just alluding to what you're saying there, did you begin your training over there?
In UK most. In Dagestan, I did wrestling, but it's very competition. Too much competition. I did karate a little bit. I go there one session there, because it's nothing else to do. If you go on computer games, like at clubs, you know, like for computers, play Counter-Strike or something. You know?
Or
you go to training, because nothing else to do in there. You can't study. It's like you have to pay money for
in Dagestan.
Exams. Yeah, you can't study. It's like,
tell me about training there, like before you did the comparison of UK and what's the difference? Why are these Dagestanis coming up so much in MMA now and taking everything? Like, what is the difference?
90% win rate.
What is the difference? Fighters, training there and training here.
I think because spends time more in the gym than everything. No smoking, no drinking.
Yeah, it's true.
Just in the gym. What else to do? Nothing else to do. Like, if you get top three, like this guy who I beat in the European Championships, he get like I beat him. He came third. I came first, and you know what's interesting? He came back. You know, the Russian Federation gave him like, you know, a keys or flat, you know, in Moscow, and like.
Why?
And I came back on, you know, because he got like third place at the European Championships. I came back, got the train to Salford from airport, and also. It's like the difference between.
Jeez,
so this one, like, so people get motivated to do this to beat someone, you know,
right? And
Khabib must be a huge inspiration for people to follow in them.
100%, 100%. You know, he put a lot of kids off the streets as well. You know,
has he got his own academies out there?
Yeah, he's good. He's on gym. Yeah.
Is he far from where your hometown is?
No, it's from? Dagestan. Is very small. It's like
is it really?
It's like a northwest.
Okay.
It's like northwest. It's not small, but people close. Everybody know each other.
I notice how you go to Thailand and it's very brotherhood, isn't it? Like, and I've trained with a lot of the guys out there too, and I've noticed that you stick together. You know, you're really close, almost like family, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does that come from the culture in Dagestan? Is it always like that, or is it just the guys that kind of do MMA? And
no, it's always like this.
Okay.
It could be like MMA fighter, like UFC fighter, friends with someone who is clean, like some, like, for example, yeah, yeah. Trafford Center, you know, so it doesn't matter. It's, if you're human, you're very close. It doesn't matter who you're big fighter or you're small fighter, you know? So if you show your loyalty, you know, the main things, and people, like, stick together.
Yeah, you have noted, like, everybody's so close out there, and even before, you know, you started making it where you were, they all knew about you.
Yeah.
Everybody, yeah. I mean, you're a big star over there already now. You're the next guy for them. Mm-hmm. What is that pressure like on your shoulders now? Because you are undefeated, you are world champion, you're a European champion. How does that feel now?
Only pressure is that I have to not step back now, only forward. Like, because so many people follow me. Maybe in some stage of my career, I was thinking maybe do education instead of sport. But then I forget, you know, so many people follow me. What to tell them? Why did I stop? Because I'm weak or what? So I have to go all the way now.
Wow, and you know what, that mentality is why, that's why I really wanted you on, and I've seen you training from years, from you first come to the UK.
Yeah. Seven years
I've seen this guy, and he's an inspiration to me. Honestly, I watch him and I think, that was a younger version of me. I was the same as you, I was a gym rat, and you're the only person I've seen in this country that has that same mentality, and even we were training together last night, today, and he's still the last one in there, and that used to be me. I'm fighting to be the last one out the gym with him now.
What's going to change in your routine? Because you're essentially training like a full-time pro already, aren't you? Mm-hmm. What's going to change in your routine when you do lose amateur and you become a professional fighter? Anything? Or is it just going to continue as it's
going? No, we'll be same. Yeah. We'll be same, yeah. I train with big guys since I'm young.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's
he trains like a pro now.
That's terrifying. If you're another amateur in the world, that's terrifying. He's thinking, how am I beating him? Not beating him on work rate, skill, opponents that he's coming up against. The guy's training like a full-time pro. Mm-hmm. What's the roadmap look like for the moment? I think Dean mentioned you want to go 30-0 and then turn pro.
Really? Yes. Is that how many you want to do?
I'm like, maybe not 30. It's like, I win these world championships. Like
same guy in there again. Japanese guy.
Japanese is entered already. He's entered. This guy crazy.
Round three, yeah? Get ready.
Oh, mate, I bet he hates you.
Yeah,
this guy.
Poor guy.
It's okay. I'm not beating much. I hold him.
I just play with him.
Talk to him. He's just like Khabib, isn't he? Just lying there talking to him.
Have you done it? Oh, I've seen you do the talking as well.
I talked with last guy in Sheffield Arena. This guy, like.
So you got this next guy next week. He's saying he's got the minerals.
Yeah.
He got a message to him. He says, listen, my midget, you're getting it. I've seen some video the other day.
Really?
He said, I'm the biggest nobody in the world.
He said, he's the biggest nobody, but really, I've never heard of the other guy.
Yeah, who is it?
So it's like...
Who are you, you witch?
One round.
One round.
Everybody's
early night. Yes. Just to like tell the Uber driver, don't turn the engine off, mate.
So anyone who's watching this and you're local to Manchester...
It's at Victoria Warehouse, isn't it?
Yes.
You.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
Is that a Victoria? No,
it's a
Bowlers.
It's a Bowlers, yeah.
Oh, Bowlers. Sorry, yeah. I always get them too.
He's fighting for another belt. What belts have you got now?
Tanko, UKFC flyweight and bantamweight, and what else?
This one next week.
This one next week, and the cage still is.
What do you know about the guy fighting next week?
He beat one guy from SBG, Josh Kelly.
Okay.
And I just seen this, and he said, I never tap in the gym, but I see he lost one decision and one submission, but... I tap in the gym 100 times.
What a mad mentality that is to have. Of course you would.
What does that mean? I don't tap in the gym. Is that what he said?
Yeah, but why are you tapping the fight? I tap in the gym. I'm not embarrassed with it. I get like dropped in the gym. I get taken down by like some amateur. But if you know some amateur, like I mean I'm an amateur myself, but someone like who just started, I can't get taken down. But if I get in the fight with this guy, like who take me down, so in the fight, different mentality. This guy is like,
exactly. It's
different. You know, like it's performance, isn't it? It's like how you're turning up to the cage. It's like, not many can do this.
Exactly.
In the gym, everybody could be like a beast, you know, like smash. It's okay. But when in the fight, show this. You know?
We talked about it when Dean was on here. We were talking about you quite a bit. And he was saying that is the difference. There's a lot of good amateur fighters who you train with, who you know are a really good level, but you bring something else to the cage. You're a performance guy, you're the lights are on, the hat's on, and you turn it on in the fight. You notice there, like what you said was, in the gym, I'll get taken down, I'll take shots. Now, that mentality is the way to move forward. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of this.
You're not getting tested if you're not.
I mean, no. Like, we'll wrestle, I'll get some, he'll go down with it, he'll get some, I'll go down. Like, what is the point in, like, I've got to win everything in the gym. I had a mentality like this when I was growing up, and it was no good. And it's
start getting an ego. Injured, isn't it? You start getting injured as well if you put like everything like this. And it's actually it's an ego, isn't
it's
it?
It's your ego. I was in the gym, but you don't want to attack because why is your mate? It's not on camera. It's not for money.
Yeah.
But it's a mentality that's stuck in MMA. It's embedded in MMA. Mm-hmm. I don't want to tap in the gym. I've got to win every single round of sparring. And it's like, you know, you've obviously not got the right training partners. If you're not tapping...
Yeah, if you're not tapping, you ain't... If anyone can turn up to a brand new white belt class and just smoke everyone and walk out high-fiving themselves. But what the fuck have you just learned, mate?
And this mentality, I've seen it with him. He's really... So say he knows he's not going to get a takedown because the guy's twice his size. He'll just keep shooting. He might fail the takedown, but you know what?
Well, I'll make him tired.
Exactly.
When I make him tired, even though after I don't take this guy down, I'm happy.
Exactly.
Because next time I'm going to beat this guy, you know?
Yeah, like, and it's a great mentality, and it's not a lot. It's embedded now in him, and that's something. Another thing that I really admired, the way losing in the gym is a big part of winning in the fight. And he's obviously got the correct training partners. If you're getting tapped, if you can get taken down, if you're not, you need to start looking at other gyms.
Yeah.
If you're the best in there by far, and you're winning every round, you're not.
Yeah, you're not.
It's like start
growing.
Yeah. And I've seen him at Tiger. And you've been at, you know, you've been our gym. You've been All Powers. You've been every single gym.
Yeah.
He turns up with that bag. I'm so happy he's got a car now. He used to break my heart when he was saying, "I'm going to go and get the train in the pissing down rain
to Liverpool."
Oh. So tell us about that. Like, forward. You first come over.
Yeah.
Was Y Club the first place you went, or was it? How did
Y Club? I trained in Carbon as well.
Carbon. So you started there.
Yes,
that your first gym.
Yes, and City of Manchester Wrestling Club.
Like, how did you find these when you first got here? Like, how did that work?
What happened is I was like just like same as Dagestan, like a little bit fighting on the streets, you know. It's like,
really? So, over here.
So when I came, I just like someone says, you know, like in my mind, you know, someone swore something, it was like disrespectful to me. Depends how you swore as well, you know. Some people like, but I didn't understand full English, so anybody says F word, I go like, let's go
crazy.
What'd you say?
Let's go. And they couldn't explain that they're joking, so it's too late then.
You're already on your head.
So then there was a youth zone open, basically in Wigan. Youth zone, Dave Williams open, like big youth center, you know. Dave Williams, DW, isn't it? Owner of DW Sports. And
DW Stadium, Dave Willing.
And he opened this, and there was like 50p for entry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad said, if you go there, I give you £20. Like, you paid for training, also I give you £20, so you go there.
Wow.
Like, brilliant. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to collect this money, you know.
Sweet.
No iPhone, nothing I have in that time, you know. I had the iPod, yeah. So to get the Wi-Fi, I used to go like to town and get Wi-Fi, you know. It's like mad life, like I come, no laptop, nothing. It's like, but I had everything, you know, back then. It's my life just started from new.
Yeah.
And then I started going there, and then there was like coaches, wrestling coaches, said, we got like wrestling club.
At Dave Whelan's?
Wigan. No.
Wigan.
Wigan wrestling club. So I went there.
Snake Pit.
No, Mike Grundy one.
Yeah, Mike Grundy, yeah.
But that's not a bad one either.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so I started there, and like 1 month later, they took me to a Scotland competition. I won.
And you just, that was
And after that, I like, let's have it, you know. And then in wrestling, I beat guys who are jiu-jitsu champions, so I said, why not try jiu-jitsu? So I started winning jiu-jitsu, and then white collar boxing a little bit, and then let's do it MMA.
And then how did you get to the Y Club? Just started looking other ways now, and
yeah,
that's where I first.
Yeah, Y Club. You know, when they used to have session Monday, Wednesday, in Wigan. So I thought, Tuesday, Thursday? Let's do it. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Go Y Club. Get trained. Get bus. Go Y Club.
Get showered at by a lot of
big
maniacs.
Backpack. You know, it's like. Yeah. And so.
And how did you find a city in Manchester?
And then I found out there's a Ukrainian coach, so it's easy for me, you know. Language barrier, you know.
Really,
so I went there, you know.
Good guy as well.
Yeah, but I still go in Y Club and like Saturdays and like mix.
Yeah. Same with me. That's another thing. Even Dean alluded to. I said to Dean last week when he was on the show, I was like, you know, Muhammad's coming on a Wednesday now. I hope that's okay. And Dean was like, what do you mean? Is that okay? Listen, he's his own man. I'm his coach, but I don't stop him from going anywhere.
Yeah.
This is another massive thing that needs to be changed in MMA. Any of you insecure MMA coaches out there that won't let you guys train elsewhere, it's selfish.
Yeah.
And a lot of these coaches now say, I can teach you everything, but you can't.
Yeah. But
you physically can't.
That's why I left Carbon, actually. You know, I came to wrestling club and Dean posted picture with me, you know.
Mm.
And the coach from, like, you know, Mike Grundy, he sent me, like, you can't do this, you know what I mean? So it's like, that's how I just gone. I'm like 6-0, you know, at that time. Like, when I came to Aspire, I'm 1.5 years in Aspire, now I'm 16, you know, 10 fights out in 1.5 years.
Wow, like, that's brilliant. And that so active.
So the results shows, like, so if you have to move on, if someone holds you.
No disrespect to them either. Like, some gyms run like that, and that's how they are. I personally have my opinion. Mm-hmm. He's a shining example of it.
You've always been pretty nomadic with your training, haven't you? You've jibbed out over to Thailand before, a bit like you've done as well.
We've pretty much done the same thing. Yeah. We train at the same gym.
Jibbed out over to San Diego and just gone. I mean, how did that even come about?
Well, same thing with Mohammed. I got offered a big fight, and it was like, wow, I need to hire Tom Dukanwa. Mm-hmm. Was the first time I got offered a title. So it was like, bam, a world title. And it was like, I needed high-level training partners. My jiu-jitsu coach on the show, a guy called James Harbison, he's my jiu-jitsu coach mm-hmm. now. And Ross Pearson was obviously on my team, and I knew that they trained at Alliance. So I just said, can I come out there? And in your head, I know this has happened to you too. You picture like, right, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to get smashed. These guys are amazing. You watch them on TV. Yeah.
But it's not that, it's not a big difference, isn't it?
When you train with them, you think, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah.
It gives you a real sense of confidence. Then obviously I got took under the wing by Dom and so forth and move on. But he's doing the exact same thing. One coach cannot teach you everything. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of fight. Like, one guy cannot teach you everything. Mm. Like, you know, we're wrestling with monsters. Check this out. So last night, how many people on the mat?
Minimum, like 50. 50
people. Yeah, no, wrestling at the City of Manchester, right?
Okay. So
high level. We've got Commonwealth medalists.
Oh, that's the little single story place, isn't it? Just off one of the main roads. I think I've seen it.
It's a British academy, so did the British team train there? Mm-hmm. And then, okay, so then, that was last night. Fast forward 8 hours, 10 hours, we're in champs camp, world champion boxers, Carl Thompson, shout out to Carl, beat David A, Eubank. So you're training with him? And that's the way to do it. You go to the best you can find in each, and we are absolutely spoiled in Manchester with absolute.
I was just about to say, isn't it awesome that all this is here? Look, because when you said that you was keeping your camp here for this fight, I was kind of like, really? And then you roll through everything that you're doing and you go, oh, do you know what, it makes a lot of sense, but how awesome is it that we've got that? And obviously we've got GB top team about to open as well. There's, when I say about having a super team around here somewhere, it's not necessarily about having super coaches and super facilities, but it's that level of training partner, isn't it? Because that's the difference that can make you. If you're just training on your own in your flat or something like that, I mean, you're not improving, you're not getting better. You've got to go and taste all the different flavours, aren't
they? I've talked to everyone now. Mohammed, Mark Diakese, Scott Ashgemore, we had him on last week, about going away to train. It's good at, in bursts. It's good a couple of weeks, but, you know, it's not the do-all.
Better, I think, in UK is the best, to get better. Yeah. And there's just sparring partners. Over in like Thailand, for example.
Very good, loads.
You don't get like much better, you know what I mean?
Really?
So you just got there ready to spar and, but to get better, it's like, here is like not too hot here, and you get ready, you know, train here, and there you go spar if you want.
Leon Edwards is a big example of it. He's on an 8-fight win streak in the UFC.
It's outrageous.
8-fight win streak. He doesn't leave the UK. Yeah. He's a shining example of, you know, now our levels are coming up now. We've got a lot of British talent all in major organisations, and the sport's moving forward in this country. Yeah. People like yourself, people like me, people like Edwards, Till, and the list is endless now. And it is showing that you don't have to do these long trips. You don't have to put yourself out. And this is only get bigger in this country. And I think, I don't know, it's like, this might be the place to come eventually. Who knows? Who knows how it'll turn around?
What's your schedule like now? So we've got bowlers in a couple of weeks. Is it 11 days?
Yeah, next Saturday, 10 days.
And then nothing until the Worlds?
Nothing to... I just got message of Prince going to fly over to in October for a whole month there. They're paying for everything.
What, you're going to go fly out to Bahrain and chill with the Prince?
Stay there for 1 month.
That can't be bad.
Yeah, because their team getting credit for it. And
they have a right team as well, aren't
who?
They? Bahrain. Half a
tell me about what's going on with that.
In Bahrain, it's full of Dagestan team.
What did he do, though? Just ring them up and say, do you want to come over here and live? How's
just,
it work?
Just found a passport with your name on it.
I don't know if they get passport. I don't know about this, but it's like, because it's massive competition in Russia,
it's big,
so
what's
they have to move around.
Ali, the ginger guy, light heavyweight. like a white Tyson, mate. Oh my god!
What, in eye masks?
Yeah.
Or do you mean the one who won 3 times gold in different possibly. Like Europeans, Worlds, and Asians? And
yeah,
like,
he's called Ali.
Yeah,
Ali. What's his second name?
I forgot.
Begins with
a
T, I think.
Yeah. They recently posted his picture as well. Yeah. IMF. Yeah.
So you just know, I seen when you was in Thailand, you had 3 things coming up, didn't you?
Yeah.
So you just did the British.
British. Now this fight.
And then and nothing till the Worlds. When is the Worlds?
The Worlds, 8 weeks.
British Open? Was that a British Open?
Yeah.
Is that like a walk in the park?
Yeah, it's just like, just
yeah. Just ticking over for you, isn't it? So, who do you know who's in this next Worlds? Is there any stiff competition that's come up now this time? Or?
Well, yeah, if you're pound for pound number one, who's 2 and 3 that we need to look out for?
Yeah. I think Japan good.
Yeah.
Kazakhstan not bad. And there will be like...
Kazakhstan medal a lot.
How did we do as a UK team out there?
All right, we don't have a big team, though, do we?
You know what's happening? It's used to, like Nigel no. Burgess.
Yeah, I do.
He used to be like UK MMA. Now it's like separate English MMA, separate like Scottish separate, and this guy gone. So I don't know who is in charge now of England MMA. Oh,
right.
I know there's a couple of coaches came, but they have no clue like this.
Really?
I'm not disrespecting, but if you're bringing team, you rather bring 3 but strong people than 20 of someone like 1 in 3 and 1 in 2.
No
you know
way.
What I mean?
Is that on our team?
So like some of people like 2 in 3 record, you know, it's like
who's
it's,
picking them?
They're just filling the ranks, aren't they? With a lot of them, so make sure that you've got a welterweight, that you've got a light heavyweight. They're
right,
trying to fill the.
I don't see how that's good for the his
bad.
Confidence.
Yeah,
and you're going in against.
Worlds. It's worlds,
Russians and you're 1 and 3
you
in the UK.
You have to ask question: can he win a gold?
Yeah.
And then you ask a question: can he win a fight?
I agree. No, I agree.
You have to fight number ones from the like Kazakhstan where they have selection. In UK they don't have selection. In Russia they have selection. You know, like you have to win whole Russia. Imagine this, and you're fighting against someone 3 and 2, like 2 and 3 or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Swedish and Bulgarian teams, really well funded, national teams, treated like Olympians. Mm-hmm. Like they probably have big selection
what
process
about us?
As well. I don't know what the selection process is like.
$850 for entry.
You have to pay yourself.
Then flight, like for a kid, you have to pay. Imagine for a kid, for we're wearing like UK flag and you have to pay for it. You know what I mean? You represent the country and also you have to pay to wearing the flag. You know what I mean? So. Then flights, so £1,500 easy it costs just for flight and entry, you know what I mean? So it's very expensive. I don't know how this is gonna grow. Imagine we're winning gold medals and some get beat like in 30 seconds, and like one way country is growing MMA, and another way people like embarrassing it, you know what I mean? So it's like you need the right people, I think.
Well, like you just alluded to before, we're talking about a world champion gold medalist in MMA, and come home and he's getting the train home. And it's like, in these other countries, they're getting keys to houses. It's like...
Mental, isn't it? It's mental.
Yeah.
I imagine America's probably quite well funded.
What are they like? Yeah. US team?
US team is I think they get funded. 100% they get funded. You know, in for example, in Dagestan, it's free training session. Free. No membership.
You don't
nothing.
Have to pay for training.
No,
don't
no.
tell me that.
I don't anyway, so it's good. But in Dagestan, for everybody, it's free. Government... pays coaches monthly, pays for bills, everything. I was like, when I called the Prince Harry out after my fight, you see?
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I called, I thought, why not like give 50%, for example, percent like discount for example, bills for the gyms. So get the people of the streets, you know, in the gym, get them free training, and why not do this?
How is there no, I'm not going to call it prize money because clearly amateurs, it's not prize money, but. You bringing back gold after gold after gold after gold. Mm-hmm. How is there nobody in a governing body sense saying, do you know what? If maybe they haven't got the budget to be able to say, we'll pay for every fighter that wants to come. Mm-hmm. But if you medal, maybe they cover that. Wouldn't that be fair, don't you think?
100%. I think it should be.
Of course it's fair. Like, I can't even believe we're having this conversation.
You know, in Danny Mitchell actually had the best plan. He said, let's do the tournament. Each like fighter put money in. And the winner take the money and go use this money for the entry for the World Championships.
That's fair.
But nobody listened to him.
See, Danny's all. We need to get Danny on, actually.
Yeah. Danny is like, Danny and Dean is right people, I think, like, understanding.
And they're involved
in this
English MMA, aren't
no,
they?
No, I don't think they're involved.
Are they not?
Are they really not?
They're involved, but it's like...
Who runs the team, then? What's he called?
What's his name? Spencer, Mark Spencer. From Bradford.
And he picks... representatives
Yeah.
So how did we do then? Out of all the countries, where did we place? Like, I'm not up to date.
Junior's team is second after Russia, because
really,
yeah.
Even the like,
right, listen, seniors, I think it's like 8th, 11th, something like this.
Which ain't bad, man. In the grand scheme of things, that ain't
with
bad.
This big. But compared you see, to like, Russia,
yeah. So if it's we the whole world, and yeah. I've never seen a world competition by the Olympics that is represented truly on a world scale like this. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you'll see the South American countries there, isn't there? You'll see Argentina, yeah. You'll see Mexico, mm-hmm. You'll see Colombia, Brazil, mm-hmm. Argentina. You'll see a ton of different African nations represented.
Mm-hmm. This is even a message now to anyone that's watching this and is going to watch this. Look, we're second in the world at juniors.
No, we're
funded this much. These guys are doing it all off their own backs, and yeah. platforms like this need to be the voice.
Oh, mate, I love the IMAFs. I absolutely love it, mate. That's like, why I keep saying to you, we need to go. Yeah, and
great level. Now 500 people entered, 500 participants.
It's truly worldwide. Like I said, Kazakhstan. All right, United are playing Kazakhstan Thursday, but when do you see Kazakhstan competing on a world stage and really competing? They medal a lot, don't they, Kazakhstan? They
do. Boxing is another level. Boxing.
Russia, China, New Zealand, Japan, like... This might be the most truly worldwide competition that I've ever
witnessed.
And is it
funded by the Bahrainian prince?
Yeah, he puts his hand in his pocket. You get a 5-star hotel, don't you?
Food and everything. Like in the Asian Championships in Thailand, it's like it was a little bit poor, but in Bahrain, it's another level.
What was the Euros like? Because the ones in Bulgaria, they were putting plastic on a cage in the morning. It was a bare metal cage.
Where was that?
Until they had to re-spray it. Everyone was sitting on like high school chairs and stuff in the sand. Where Bahrain's, it's in an arena, isn't it?
Yeah, Bahrain is arena. Imagine there's four cages and the fifth cage. Now. There was actually 1, 2, 3 cages and one big in the middle. And in the final, they removed the small ones
and they leave the main ones. So you made headlines in one of these tournaments. Remember with the weight issue and something like that. Yeah. I don't know how much you can talk about, but can you tell us what happened there?
I went to Thailand like 1 month, trained there, and like I see nobody from UK entered to Asian Championship. So I was like,
are you allowed to? Like,
yeah, it's Asian.
It doesn't
open.
Have to be Asian
open,
anybody.
Yeah.
Okay,
anybody. So any country.
Yeah, Japan was in the Euros.
Okay.
Yeah. So I called Nigel. Like, can you enter me? He said it's cost so much, but I said I find this money, let's enter me. Nobody from UK entered. No coaches, nobody flying there. So I said, I'm in Phuket now, and the Asians in Bangkok enter me, I'll fly over. I'll make 57 as well, 56.7.
What did you weigh at the time?
When I arrived to Phuket, I was 67, 68.
Okay.
So I stopped making like diet, everything. Yeah. Made weight, got guy. Who actually cornered Liron's opponent.
Okay.
This guy, he came over to Bangkok with me to corner me.
All right, nice.
So so he came over to corner me, and then they found out, like, they found out I put so much weight. So they had, like, 5 minutes before I walked to the cage, they pulled me out. Imagine this. I recovered, I make weight, 56.7 championships weight, and they pulled me out, and, like, let me just have one fight. And I was supposed to fight a Bahrainian guy from Dagestan.
Do you think that has something to do with it?
In that time, I thought that, but I think. Like, I don't know. It's like something could be behind. But maybe like because some guy died on 1FC of weight cut. So it's in Asia, so they're scared about weight cutting, you know. So they pulled me out. So I said, just give me one fight. I win this fight and I go.
They wouldn't even do that.
No, they don't do that. I was like, crank, let me just fight. Give me one round. Something.
Yeah,
like,
you just know. Someone needed to get it.
Yeah. So they sort me, they refund my money, and everything was sorted after and I came back to UK. It was Ramadan. So straight after Ramadan, it was European Championships week after. So of course we fast in the day, we eat in the night time. I wasn't in best shape for Europeans. Well, I win. And Europeans was good. Europeans was good level. Very nice arena.
I would hope so in Rome.
Yeah.
I would hope so in Rome. Where's this year's Euros?
This year? Next year's, you mean? Year. I don't know.
Where's the World's Bahrain? It's every year.
Yeah,
Bahrain.
I think that prince has just decided that he likes it, and that's that.
Yeah.
And it's just staying there.
Why would you leave?
Why would you? No one can get to them standards.
Wait till you see the arena. The arena's outrageous. It's perfect. It's perfect size.
It's the name of his dad as well.
Okay.
Name of his dad, isn't it? Khalifa.
How nice is it now that we've got a royal... from
That's big.
That enjoys MMA because We were called barbaric, cage fighters, horrible people. We've gone through every name you can imagine.
Mate, that prince is gangster as well. Yeah. Like 2 weeks before the Worlds that I went to, he was on a front line fighting ISIS. Not even kidding. That's what it's all about. Bahrain, yeah. I think there was, I don't know whereabouts, Yemen, I think they might have been. Somewhere like that, but he was out on the front line. Him and his twin brother. I think it's a twin brother.
Yeah, well, you know him personally.
He's got brother, yeah.
Both of them out.
How does it feel to be mates with the Prince of Bahrain?
It's cool. It's cool.
It's supposed to be cool.
It's cool. But my main, it's not like be friends with politicians. My main is like get to the top.
Of course.
MMA, you know, it's like if they're there, they help, you know. But I'm not getting deep in that political thing.
He's got his own gym, hasn't he? Have you been out to
KHK? That's where I'm going in October. KHK called.
So you're
going
to stay with him KHK. For a month?
Yeah, KHK. Yeah. That's his name, isn't it?
And train with who? His team?
All his team, Bahrain team. Okay. But this guy in my weight division from his team, yeah.
In the IMAS.
But he came third in Europeans and third in the world. Also, Japan beat him.
That guy you fought? Yeah. Okay. So what's the plan? What's the goal? Going to be UFC champion?
UFC, I want UFC. I've got offer Bellator now.
Are they?
Yeah, Bellator. Good offer. Good money.
Wait, not what you were talking about earlier. I'm not going to mention it, but... Yeah. What you said earlier?
Aren't you calling someone out already?
The guy you said earlier?
James Gallagher.
Oh, fuck it. I was going to try and keep it on the low, but bollocks
there. Yeah, I seen this guy text him for that fight.
Yeah, it's next week, and I see he got pulled out, so I messaged Dean now. I said, how much they pay? I'm ready to step in next week.
If you do that, you'd obviously...
I'm not amateur anymore. Yes, but I know that I smashed this guy. This guy won't even place like top three in IMOFs.
But if you went to and fought him next week, you wouldn't be going to the Worlds, would you? You're not allowed to.
No. But he's a big name.
And it's not a bad way to start, is it?
Jesus.
Headline in Dublin, Bellator. Yeah.
Imagine, you know, Mini Khabib versus Mini Conor.
Wow, I didn't even look at it from that angle, but it'd be absolutely, and what a turnaround that would be.
Yeah, crazy.
You know what, all you can do is throw your name in the hat. If something comes of it, something comes of it.
I'd probably leave you out at home, though.
Yeah. What, in Ireland?
Yeah.
This guy got balls.
I have a lot of Irish fans.
Yeah.
They support me good. Like it's because the Irish team was in Bahrain, you know, and they had the security. Imagine this, because the whole Habib team was over there, and they had security with the guns in the car. Have you seen this?
No, go on.
The Irish team was like with security on the car, separate coaches and with the guns and stuff like this. What's his name? Kieran or something?
Kieran Clark.
Kieran, not Kieran Clark. It's another. It's the big, tall guy from Ireland.
No, I don't know that.
He fought on Brave.
I know who you mean. Yeah, Connor's friend.
Yes, he's there.
Yeah, I think a lot of the Irish teams are Connor's mates. I think they all train at SBG. But John Kavanagh's involved heavily in it.
Yeah, so he fought on Brave and like nobody from SBG turned up. He got cornered by amateur fighters. You know?
Why didn't they come?
Because imagine there's like Khabib, there's like president of Chechnya, there's like everybody in the arena.
Is the beef that serious?
It was like...
I believe a lot of people get buried in the southern Bahraini desert, allegedly.
So they're like security, amateur fighters at security.
Secure even at that level. I mean, this is how big MMA is getting. That beef there has carried on to the world level with world teams.
With people that aren't even involved.
Yeah.
So you said you already had a Bellator offer.
Bellator offer could be, I think, UFC next. UFC can offer me too.
For your debut?
No. What they're doing, I know what they're doing. They sign amateurs and let you fight different organizations, for example, like UFC fight passes, and UFC pay for you to grow you.
Cage Warriors and things like that. Yeah. That's not bad. That's a pretty good idea, actually.
Yeah.
Get you exclusively so you don't end up in another organization, rival organization, and then, when the time's right, get you to, 3-4-5-6-0 and then bring you in.
Yeah, Bellator, good offer as well, but I think you sign with Bellator, it's like 80% you don't go to UFC. Depends what contract it is.
I agree. Yeah.
You got to go and win the title, haven't you?
Yeah. For me, it doesn't matter who to fight. For me, I want to be UFC champion. Bellator fighters or UFC fighters, they're all same.
Yeah, I agree.
All fighters same, you know.
Look at the welterweight division of Bellator. I mean, it's like Douglas Lima. I think he's the best welterweight on the planet.
we said, didn't we? I think we covered this last week. We were talking about when the UFC bought out all of the other organizations that was rivals to it.
Look at Gaethje.
All of them.
Flying.
Not all of them. A lot of them ended up top three, top four, and even champions in the UFC when they brought them over. Yeah, and everyone assumed the UFC had the stronger fighters at the time. It's not always the case.
WEC was the biggest one. Dominic Cruz come from there, got the world title. Cerrone come from there, got the title. Uriah Faber.
Aldo.
Like Aldo. And then they bought out World Series. Well, they didn't buy out World Series. They just took Gaethje, didn't they? Who's doing great. Alvarez.
Do you know what I heard? I mean, I don't know if Gaethje was on this, but I know World Series of Fighting, just before they were... No, this is like 5 or 6 years ago, they were paying $250 for main card fighters.
No way. You know that's PFL now, don't you?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think you're on 250.
Yeah, PFL. PFL is World Series zero, so yeah.
That's where it came from, then.
Yeah, interesting. WSOF was good. Timur Valiyev, you know.
Yeah, he's good.
He's good. Bantamweight.
Is he in the UFC yet?
Or? No, he's waiting now. He's waiting.
Just waiting for like a pullout. Or?
I think they're always a great fighter, you know, all-rounded fighter.
I just seen another guy get signed. He's fight. You was telling me about him.
Who is this?
He just got signed. He's going to fight, I think, this weekend or next weekend.
Askarov. No?
Is that him? 22-6 or something.
No, do you mean... Oh.
He just got signed recently. Like a day or two ago, we took a short notice fight.
22-6. Muradov. Oh, Muradov. Muradov. Yeah, he got signed. And also, you know who he got signed? ACB flyweight champion.
Oh, he got signed
now? He's fighting in Mexico next week. Askarov, flyweight champion.
Was he 10-0. Like
10-0. Very good. He beat Lerone Hudingarnet fought.
Yeah. Right, okay.
He submitted him. Remember, he did like a triangle on the body and the neck crank.
I know exactly what you mean. You know what's crazy?
He's deaf as well. He won Deaf Olympics as well on the wrestling. He's deaf.
Jeez.
Yeah, crazy guy.
Do you know what? I think like the highest level of competition I've ever seen, no joke, is ACB.
ACB.
When I see two... the level in ACB is scary. I watched two of them guys fights and it's like...
Look, ACB's Zabit, always been well matched.
Zabit now has gone to the UFC. I'm saying any of the champions in ACB now.
You know what's interesting? They don't have doping tests. That's why I don't really... It's a challenge, but 1FC challenge as well. 1FC, everybody on I think...
That's a big fat allegedly.
1FC, it's not clean. 1FC, 100%
how big steroids is in MMA?
It's massive. It's my everybody on it.
What do you think people are doing? EPO? Stuff to increase cardio because
I think Red Bull sells more. I think the more using for heart or like blood doping, take blood out when you're in peak form, get in peak form again, pull it back in, and that's what the most people do as well. You know,
can you even test for that? How do you test for blood going in and out? It's your own blood.
I think the UFC testing or the level of testing that they got in the UFC, it can find traces of the plastic bags that they've used to put it back in.
Listen, how many
that's why all IVs are banned.
How many fighters have we seen go from hero to zero when you started coming?
Yeah.
Mate, Alistair Overeem looked like a superhero. Now he looks like me.
Well, yeah, I mean...
It's ridiculous.
1FC is everybody on it.
That one...
The animals, they...
1FC is
each
fucking... Yeah. Like, you watch them go at it there.
My friend in the final against Eddie Alvarez now. Welterweight now in the final.
What's he called?
Saged Gusin.
Okay, what's he like?
He was in Tiger. He's 7 wins, 7 knockouts.
Yeah, imagine dangerous.
One left hook.
Think he's going to kill Alvarez?
I think he will. Did you see Alvarez last fight? He didn't want to carry on. He's just like, that guy is, he swept that guy like baby, you know, like, but he dropped him with low kick.
I know. Yeah.
He don't even want to fight, but the thing is, it's a final for $1
million.
Is it a million, really? Millions are getting thrown around pretty easy nowadays.
Someone's got some right, though, aren't they, if they're starting writing checks for them?
Bellator
sure
million, 1FC a million,
cleaning
PFL.
Cleaning money quick, you know?
They were like, aye, so that check, you know, it's not landed.
You know what's sad as well? When UFC first came around, mate, they had never heard of a million in their lives. The money was like...
Mate, people were fighting for 2 and 2 not long ago.
That's what I mean.
4 and 4s.
And now, 1FC... PFL and Bellator all do $1 million tournament.
Well,
I mean, it's a...
And a purse as well, because I didn't even realise that he was on a purse.
Yeah, purse is straight through.
That's
I think Bellator's featherweight one is crazy. The level.
Featherweight?
Yeah, have you seen the tournament now? That?
No. Where's Saul Rogers in?
Saul's in there, Daniel Veitch, AJ McKee, Pat Curran, Pitbull. Like, their level of featherweight...
Actually, it's a good level now. actually, like a featherweight.
Like really, really good high-level fighters in there. Darren Caldwell's in it. And it's like, wow. And it, I just like this tournament platform. It's like you get to know the fighters as they progress. Same with the IMS, what you're doing. It's a new thing. Like the UFC, let's say UFC or any KSW, you get one fight, you might fight again. If you're lucky, you'll get three fights a year. No, if you're lucky, you'll get three. Mostly, you're going to get two on a big show.
It's not good, though, is it?
Like, with these tournaments, you see the fighter in the first round. Ooh, next one. Ooh, and you build a rapport with them.
You go, he's fighting the winner of that.
Yes.
So you go, oh.
You build it up in your head.
A tournament is proper interesting.
Because otherwise, like you said, they have to get on the mic afterwards and beg for, can I have Conor McGregor? And can I have, like, John Jones? And they're like, no, because he's got nine fights lined up, so shut it. But when it's this tournament, I thought Bellator did it really well with the heavyweight one. And stuff like
that. I was well-tuned into Bader and Fedor.
You know, you're like, you're watching it progress along, and whether it's done on one night, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but I do like the way, a bit like Super 6 did in boxing, where you just know it's starting to progress to a final where, you know what I mean?
And
I
also think
IMAFS is great, but it's also crazy at the same time, that 3-4 days on a bounce. Yeah.
So with PFL, like, you've got to win four to get to the final. So it's like, that guy there has beat four people.
That's four to win it, innit?
Yeah.
No, four to get to the finals. So you get two prelims, quarters and semis.
And then your final afterwards.
Yeah.
Wow, is it one night you fight two fights or something?
Yeah,
so you go over, you have one fight, and you get points.
You get
so
points,
if you knock the guy out first round, 6 points, and down from that to decision, 1 point, whatever. Then you have another prelim fight, and then 12 people, and eight go through.
Oh, I didn't realise that. It's ranked. These first two points. Fights, I just thought they were like warm-up.
Like, not these.
Qualifications,
not these,
basically.
And then quarter-final, semi-final, one night. Both fights, and then the final, New Year's Eve, 5 5-minute rounds. So that's what's good, because, I mean, you know that person's gone through hardship to beat four people. He must be good. So, for example, Lance Palmer won it at my weight. He's not even lost again. He won five last year, and he's won three this year. That guy's like, he's just killing it.
Yeah, Mo's going to be able to tell you a lot about getting through that. It's,
It's only one night, though. Don't forget, he's having four back-to-back consecutive days.
How many times have you come out of one fight, though, on one night and been injured? A broken knuckle?
I can't really think of any time I've not come out and not been able to get back in. Like, I don't think I've ever been able to get back in. No thought I can get back in now. Because I'm a striker. I like to punch and kick, shins, hands. Moses is a bit different. His style's a bit more take you down.
Izzy's perfect for it. And that's why I think you've got to be ready for that.
Exactly.
Because I honestly think that I would favour a grappler in a tournament competition because of that. Because they're going to not take a lot of damage. I think what you're doing, if you can blast someone out there in the first round, you're going to have them shit in their pants for the next.
Yeah.
But if you go to a war, mate, and you've got to fight again after a war, I think you've got to be real strategic about
it. I agree. I mean, it's probably, if you're warring in the first one, the quarters,
forget it.
And that guy knocks him out.
Do
quick,
what you do,
and
you
you're going in.
Masvidal it and hope for the best.
the condition of wrestlers could take longer, in it because they got used to of wrestling tournaments. Imagine you wrestle.
That's why I favour
it's big. No, I agree.
You wrestle 6 minutes, three minutes, 30 seconds rest, 3 minutes. You rest, then you're watching two matches, and you're back in again.
It favours wrestlers massively.
In wrestling, you have to non-stop like this. Non-stop, and the more you win, the bigger level you get.
Yeah.
So it's harder.
Do you know there's a guy I rate, right? He did it last year. He's called Sean something. I think he fought heavyweight or light heavyweight. You know what he did? He'd come out of retirement, not fought for years. I'll give it one more go.
Yeah.
Went all the way through, won it. Underdog, to say the least. I'm like, ah, cheers for the doll. Thanks for the belt.
Sin a bit.
Back to retirement.
No way.
Yeah. Check
in
it up.
PFL,
yeah. I can't remember his name, Sean.
This one Dagestani guy, Magomed Kerimov. He won PFL 1 million.
Really good.
He's back in again, but I think he's broke his arm something now.
Oh, he can't fight now.
I don't know. I think he's still fighting.
He's thinking million. Yeah. How big's a million in Dagestan? Big.
Massive, massive. But now it's like,
how big is it in Manchester? It's plenty big.
Hey, there's millions in Dagestan. It's good money. You know, the other football club, Anji, called Anji, they played against Liverpool in Europe League. They have like Eto, William, who plays for Chelsea
oil
in Dagestan.
Oil
money, yeah. And this,
oh, right, really,
yeah,
right?
Eto,
I didn't know football was big there. Big.
It's very big. Now it's gone down, but they beat Liverpool 1-0 in Moscow and lost here 1-0.
So I heard when Dean said he went out there, when he went to train at, over there, he said, like, people just walking around with cauliflower ears.
Yeah.
And he's saying, like, it's the crazy, like, it's so big over there, you can't imagine. You know, is that what it's like?
You know, it's funny thing I tell you, you know, because the car on the left side, some people break their left ear, like, on purpose. So
I heard
if police stops them, it's like, oh, no, you pay to this guy to break your ear. This left ear costs, like, for example, £100, and the right ear costs £50, because left side, when police stop you, they're like, oh, you wrestler, go. Imagine this, because wrestlers, like, with mafia, you know, it's like...
The Iranians at the Y Club told me that they used to put their ears in the door. Yeah. Like, it's a big thing in them countries to have a cauliflower. I hated it when I first got mine. I got it drained again, and I was like, what is the point anymore?
Yeah.
And it blew up. I was so conscious of it. I was like, oh, fuck. Now, if you paid me, I wouldn't go back to a normal ear. Yeah. It's a badge of honor.
Yeah,
that's
how
I look at it. You got two badges of honor.
I used to drain myself.
Same.
Because I was in training camp same time. The training camp began, and first day, my ear gone. So I was like, every day, take it out. I posted video on Facebook, and
everyone was like, what are you doing?
Everybody go.
You two with your lugs. I've just got one slightly fatter one. And
would you like one?
No. No.
Would you be happy if you had one? No. Be honest. I think Stephen really wants one, you know. Be honest.
No, I got that drained at ears. When I first did it, and it's tiny now. It's just fatter than this one.
Is it hard?
Yeah, it's just hard in the middle where this one's like flopping.
I'm desperately trying to hold on to this here, you know.
These lot was like, how'd you get them? And I was like, generally,
that's
like,
a very
blasting a takedown.
That's everybody's
hitting a hip.
Hip, 100% hip.
Is that how yours came? Both
hip,
of them?
Hip, yeah.
Both.
Or someone, if you grab leg and he pulls out fast, he's rubs as well. Yeah.
I've not seen much of those ones. But I know that's how rugby union players get them, is from doing it in the scrums like
hip,
that.
Hip more, yeah.
It's everybody who sees it, same as you.
Yeah.
They go...
They look at me like aliens.
What happened to your ear, bro?
Yeah.
And you're like...
What happened to yours?
did you fight?
It's the way they look at you like that, but what's in it? Why is it like that? These are the questions you get. They go, can I touch it? And you go, that's hard. And you're like...
You only got one. Have you only got one? Oh, no, the other one's...
That's my wrestling side.
Yeah.
See, that's it as well. It's a bit of a giveaway, isn't it? If you're going to be taken down.
Well, is it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's a nightmare, isn't
it? I know, when he's saying, you know, I met him at the Y Club, how many English people you see there from MMA?
Not many.
Me?
Only Brendan, like, yeah.
I went about three times and went, no, he's not for me.
Like, everybody's scared of wrestling in this country. It's like...
Not just that, it's not it's much Iranian scared, it's about... Shout at you.
Yeah, it's not about scared much, it's about the thing it's not important in the rest... they say, like, it's not normal to touching each other or something, like, you know, they don't like
this
wrestling.
Mate,
I can't get it. I can't help you if you get to...
What's the one thing that's let the Brits down in MMA?
Wrestling. Always grappling.
You know, Britain, it's very clever. It's like, they have, like, if you compare between Dagestan and UK, what's different between fighters one way is... A nutritionist here is very good. They eat there, you eat anything you want. Don't even know about nutrition. Here it's like you have strength and condition. Like people who finish uni and actually educated themselves know about not like 100 reps, let's go, you know, like back in Dagestan, like most people used to do. Now it's more become clever because Habib bringing over from US, you know.
Good.
But used to be like 100 reps, let's do it.
Just till you
like,
die.
Let's do 100 pull ups, non stop.
Caveman mentality, yeah.
And another, like, hard sparring, there's, like, 2 hours training sessions, like, what? Just sparring, you know.
That's small
gloves and shin pads. Somebody can afford shin pads and, like five-year-old is in a tiny shin pad.
Yeah.
And here it's, like, more professional, less injuries. You have, like, food, meal preps and everything sorted. Imagine this. It's, like, another level. You only care about training. There you care about family, too, not just training.
Where?
In Dagestan. So you're training, you have to earn money, not just for yourself, there's a family, you know.
And is that a big like incentive to the fighters, obviously?
Yeah, it's big pressure. It's like you have to either study, make your parents proud, either you have to earn money to bring home, you know. At least if you're not parents, parents don't money, but parents want achieve you something big in your life.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
So they're happy, they're that happy, you know. Like,
I think that's quite that universal that you want the kid to do well. But, I mean, in Dagestan, it's like, it seems to be that all the best. How is the place this big creating the best fighters in the world? Tell us, like, what is the secret? What is going on there? Because it's this big, bro.
Yeah, could be mountains as well. I think something. Mountains is 5,000 meters on the sea level. I was training in Ukraine, 2,000 meters. It was like hard. Imagine 5,000 meters live on the sea level at high altitude. That's where Khabib lived and born, you know. So,
wow.
And imagine when Conor say, "I'm gonna fight in 5 rounds." Listen, you drink, you use drugs and you go out with girls and this guy training mountains and how you want to go 5 rounds with this guy, you know, they're crazy.
It's especially a totally different mentality.
That fighting style that Khabib's got as well. I mean, and you've got.
It's just that mentality alone, like no drinking, no smoking and all that. I mean, that's massive because you know what England's like. It's just so encouraged to be on the piss. And
I don't know what you're talking about.
And I mean, that's another massive thing towards it.
Yeah.
And I ask myself all the time. I look in PFL, all the Dagestanis winning it. And then you see
the record's extraordinary.
And it's like, I literally look at it on the map and I go, how? What's going on?
But it's also a culture from right the way through school. I don't know if I'm right on this, but this is what I've heard of the likes of Sambo and wrestling is something that people are doing from an extremely young age.
Yes.
Such like, you know, freestyle wrestling in America. Mm-hmm. That's why they're very good at it.
True.
In school, where do you see a kid in a singlet? Just don't.
Wrestling in this country just. Like I say, them Iranians, when I used to go there, they love me. Because they're like, wow, you're the actual only guy from this country that has actually gone out of his way to come and, you know, be in our culture. And I've got a lot of Iranian friends now. Yeah. And Dagestanis, there's a few there now as well. And, you know, where's Oleg from?
Ukraine.
And I've got many friends now. And I admire the work ethic of these guys. And I see what their countries, it's each totally different to ours. A lot of our athletes in MMA, they don't want to wrestle as much as they should, obviously. These guys are inbred into, you work hard, you come here, you leave at this time, you don't walk off the mat for water. Mm. And they're on a totally...
Wow, that alone is a mad one. No walking off the mat for water. Is that a thing?
I mean, no. Like
you
very
can't, but it's
very
discipline. Yeah, you have to ask coach or, you know.
And I like that. I like the martial arts discipline. Like Khabib said after his fight, he said, look, you respect gym.
First thing what you learn isn't to respect. Yeah.
And I learned that with these guys. And I see it with English fighters and English MMA. It's just not there one bit. And that's why I take to this side of things. And I totally, that's why it fascinates me to wonder what it's like there.
When you go out there and sit
down. One day we go.
The Iranian guys like Vahid and Ali, I was going to go to Iran one time, but never ended up happening. But they say, you think you train hard here? Wait till we take you to Iran. And
I think as a martial artist, I think maybe as you start winding your career down, you've got a long time left in you anyway. But I think that what a brilliant journey, not only to just go out and train in some of the places and the environments and with the people and that you can go and train with, but go bang a gi on and go roll in Rio de Janeiro. Mm-hmm. What a treat. You know, go and bang a singlet and some earmuffs on and go and get levered by a load of Iranians.
As far as it's gone now, I've sought out Sanchai Gym, went to Thailand on my own, found Sanchai Gym.
I heard about this.
Best guy I ever see do time in my life, so I find his gym. Then I went to Marcelo Garcia's. Anyone that I look up to like that, I pretty much have gone and found him. Dominic Cruz, I looked up to him, went to his gym, found him. Anybody that I look up to in the sport, I kind of have done that already, but I ain't got the time when you're in camp and you're training, you know what it's like.
That's what I said on your downslide of your career. Just, you know, make a load of money.
Brazil's
and then go
next on the list.
Can we get you out to Senegal to go and do a bit of arm wrestling?
You know what? I would literally like to try every single martial arts in the book.
Have you seen that?
Arm wrestling?
Lamb wrestling, it's called.
Oh, lamb.
Lamb.
No.
Oh, you wrestle lambs?
No. It's just these enormous Senegalese dudes.
Oh, I've seen it in the mud.
Yeah. In sand, the stadium's got like 90,000.
I have seen it.
Like fire in there and stuff. You never seen it?
No.
I'll pull some up here for you.
As a fighter, who do you look up to then? Obviously, is Khabib your number one inspiration now?
Yeah. As a fighter,
who do you look at now and you think?
You know, it's like Khabib.
Oh, not really.
Not really.
Not really anybody, just on your own journey.
Yeah. It's like Khabib is, for me, it's like a good human, you know?
Very
like,
good.
Like, you take example, you know, like, I didn't grow up in Dagestan, but like much things I learned by looking up to these fighters, like yourself, you know, Kane. Like I know, like long time looking like all fighters same.
Yeah, to you.
Like yeah,
No.
Like Rustam Khabilov is very close to me. Mm-hmm. You know, guy who fought Norman Parker.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Fancy go that.
Why did they start like that though?
I don't think strikes are allowed. There's this weird open.
Why did they do that though?
Because I think they're just pouring at each other a minute. Because I think this ends in about a second. I might not have been this particular fight.
For anyone that can't see this laptop,
they're just like guys, swimming at each
we've got
other
two
like
guys
this.
Swimming in open air in a fong.
I think they can grab like the rope that's around the body to sort of twist it.
I'd absolutely love.
I imagine that's pretty slippery.
Yeah.
But I think they've got open palm strikes. I think as soon as your back touches the sand, you're done.
You lost, yeah?
Yeah. So yeah, I think there's some trips. I think a lot of it's like hip tosses once you get hold of the rope. Try and find a finish.
It's pretty peculiar, that, mate.
I think it
I don't know what Stephen watches in his spare time.
crazy.
There you go, a bit more familiar.
What's this for, though? What does this do? Is that like trying to lull him?
Might be, yeah.
It's like a jump back.
They're both going for double unders there, aren't they? And then try and grab a bit of rope. I think they're trying to grab rope anyway. Anyway.
Anyway, Stephen.
They're looking up to like fighters. Like, depends who show best example. Yeah. All fighters are same.
I agree.
Not all fighters same, you know. So take a little bit from a little bit from him.
And now you know that torch is with you now. You've got a lot of young guys looking up to you too now.
Yeah, that's why I try to show good example myself because... Like, for example, Conor, you know, he's a great fighter. He's a very good fighter. But the way what he's doing with old people, come on, it's like, do what they want, but not old people, you have to respect. Mm. It's like, even like 1 month he's older than you, you have to like respect. He said, like, you know, like in Dagestan, when like someone older walks up, you have to stand up. You know, it's like, shake his hand. And it's like, that's how young's... And I mean, old difference, you know?
That's everywhere, though. I mean, that's every culture. That incident was a one-off, and it's like, whatever happened, happened there. But the way you're talking about there is what martial arts teaches you, doesn't it? Respect, of course.
Your elders. Okay, it's one-off, but he's
I mean, I'm not trying to defend that in any way, in any way at all. What I'm saying is, from our perspective, what that's going on there is nothing to do with, like, MMA. That's
MMA,
him as a person.
No. And, it's him as a person. MMA doesn't teach this.
Exactly.
MMA teaches different things, even more better things than what we actually do.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, you're carrying a torch now too. You're a world champion, you're a European champion, and like that, what you're talking about, a lot of people are doing that for you now. People are up to Conor, to Khabib. You're the next generation now, and you carry a lot of weight on your shoulders. But I mean, even talking to you today, it's the first time we've gone pretty deep on conversation.
Yeah.
I can see you're ready for it.
Yeah,
you're ready. You take it all in your stride. You're calm. You're collected with it. And I'll tell you from seeing you train every day, this guy's not taking his foot off the pedal. He's a shining example to not just fighters, but to an athlete of his age coming from another country, finding his way with no language, finding his way to the top of the sport. You know, representing our country.
Yeah.
And people need to get behind this guy because he's the future of MMA in this country and in the world. And I think it's a great, you know, podcasts like this are going to bring out the real you. People only see Muhammad on the mats and winning fights and there and the wig, but stuff like this is going to be very beneficial for you now. And I think stuff like on your Instagram and showing your personality, because you're a good guy, you're a funny guy, but you're also super respectful. Mm-hmm. You respect Jim, you respect, I see you the way sorry I'm late and things like that. And that's massive to a culture. And you don't get that in England. You don't, and
just walking on.
And I'm like, they don't even say anything. Let's get on the mat. He come to Cam's the other day, and I went, and even Cam, it's like, wow, that kid's, you know what I mean? For his level, you get guys that are 1-0 now who just walk past the coach and think they can just walk at him. But for his level and the amount that he's done already at this age, to be able to still have that respect is massive. And I think, you know, moving forward, it's an example of how we need to move this sport forward.
Yeah.
People like Dean and there's a lot of good people involved now that are taking this to the next level.
Yeah.
It's not just human cockfighting anymore, like everybody used to say.
Someone's got to get a grip of the funding at Sport England or whatever like that, and actually have a look at what MMA can do. There's so many MMA gyms opening up all over the country. You can't move for a new MMA
UFC gyms. A lot of UFC gyms opening.
That's opening now,
that's like just waste of money. It doesn't matter, UFC gym or people still gonna go where's actually Coach Kerber, you know, like Champs Camp. It's not big gym, but I'd rather go there instead of UFC gym, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So actually it's like, it doesn't matter how big it is gym and how nice it is, depends how's the atmosphere inside the gym,
aura.
The people and the, you know, the
energy
you feel, you know, it's instead of investing this money in UFC gym, invest half of it in, on the athletes.
Yeah,
how much?
It's about 400 grand a year, the franchise fee.
400, I heard it's half million. Something.
Yeah, so just to have the UFC name, because they're going to help with promotion. But ultimately...
So are we trying to move to sport, or are we trying to make money? What are you trying to do there?
I think the UFC are doing both, aren't they? Well, I think... No, I don't. I think they're just trying to make money.
Yeah.
Since they got bought out... Mm-hmm. What,
so think about that, and think about what the Prince of Bahrain is doing for the sport. Look at the difference.
Carrying spit buckets.
There's a massive difference in what's
There's
going
actually
on.
There's actually a UFC gym in Bahrain as well. Empty. Empty. Nobody. There was like, no. UFC gym separate. There's KHK gym.
No, see, there's everybody at KHK.
They're all over the
world.
Yeah,
everybody in KHK.
All over the world. The UFC gyms. It's a big franchise. It's a big money maker.
It's more like for fitness.
Yeah, yeah.
Women fitness.
Yeah, have you been in one? I've been in one in San Diego. It's a good concept. They put a cage in there.
Dan Hardy's just opening one. I think there's probably going to be a fight team out the one in Nottingham.
Okay, Nottingham, good.
Yeah, I think that's going to probably have some sort of a fight team. And I think Bisping's looking at opening one.
In Stockport.
That was it, yeah. So, in Stockport, mate, so, yeah. I think how many gyms there is just round here. It's outrageous.
It's changing.
Yeah.
The landscape's changing, but how many of them are good?
Yeah.
That's a different
question. How many of them are teaching real martial arts?
If Michael Bisping comes here and he's invested in putting in the coaches, he will, because of his name and the fact that he's, you know,
he didn't even train
UFC
here.
Champion.
He's like,
exactly.
He's not going to come coach, I think. He's all his life in America. His son was competing British championships.
I heard, yeah.
And he got like battered, you know.
Really?
And he's like NCAA champion or something like
really?
This.
Really?
So it's,
didn't he fight Ash?
Huh?
Didn't
yeah,
he wrestle
Ash,
him?
Ash, like... Just smoked.
Ashes. No, listen, I'm not joking, Steve. The level of wrestling right now at that place is insane. It's really good.
Well, a combination of the Y, the wrestling
Iranians,
clubs,
the Dagestanis,
ASW.
And they've all come in this hub, and I'm 50 people on the mat. When would you ever get 50 people on a wrestling mat in England?
Yeah. Actually, you know, when I started, like, first time at Manchester Wrestling, there was like three of us, four of us, coach. That's it.
Look,
and we play basketball like 2-on-2, I remember. Now it's like 50 people. I think it's maybe because of Khabib, or maybe actually people woke up everything you need. The Y Club was always busy.
Yeah, Y Club was always good.
But now, like, all gyms busy for wrestling classes and, like, grappling classes. Now I like this.
I swear, the nicest people, Amir, and, like, just real good-hearted people that really want to help out. And I found my way to the Y Club, and, like I say, I was the only guy. And I've got him with these guys, and... A lot of people feel afraid to go there because they think I'm just going to get thrown on my head. It's just not like
it's
that.
Different level. It's, you can't choose your own partner, you know. Like, you can't pick who started today and who started, like, 1 year ago, who can't started, like, since he's born.
Well, when there's 50 people, you can,
yeah.
When it's three of you, not so much.
I brought a guy yesterday, first ever wrestling session. And I was
your nutritionist?
Yeah, I brought my nutritionist. He said,
I've seen
he's
carrying him around.
It was funny. He goes, I want to come and do what you do for a day. No problem, mate. And you know what? It was actually lucky that he came, right? Yeah. Because I was supposed to be on the track for 10:30. And anyway, I hear this on the door. I'm like, shit. Anyway, I woke up. My charger had broke. It wasn't even charging my phone. So my alarm wasn't going to go off. I said, oh, what time is it? It's 10:15. I was like, shit. Thanks for knocking on. Anyway, get him in the car. Made him do the sprints. And he's like, they were pretty easy. He's a marathon runner. All right. Well, that's half. That's half of the day done.
Yeah.
By wrestling at the end of the night, mate. His hair was hanging. You know, I've hurt my hand. It's all that. And he went right. Okay, hats off. I don't know how you do it.
Wrestling's brutal.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
No two ways around it. Wrestling's brutal.
Yeah.
We got some really good partners there, are we?
Very good. Very good. Yeah.
And anyone that's interested in wrestling, I definitely recommend City of Manchester. I mean, wow.
Joe, I'll tell you It is intimidating walking into either an MMA gym or a wrestling gym, especially somewhere like the Y, when they're all shouting in a foreign language and you haven't got a fucking clue what's going on. Not only do I not know what's going on, I don't even know what he's trying to do, and I'm getting shouted at for not doing it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Steven's going to be fighting again. He's already had one fighting. MMA fight. He's already had one.
9 years ago.
9 years ago.
That's where we first met.
I see last time you had a podcast with Wiggins.
Oh, yeah. We need to ask you about this. What? Somebody asked me at wrestling, he went, why did he have a snake pit t-shirt on? Tell us where you got it.
Bought it.
He just bought it.
From where?
Can't remember.
The guy who I wrestled with, Charlie, was like, where did he get that from? Ask him, please. And I went,
I think it was from Snake Pit website. I'll check what Snake Pit website out.
Yeah, and then he caused a lot of controversy.
Bit of a homage for Ari in that, though, wasn't it? That's what that was for.
Yeah, and...
I thought you were from Wigan.
No. Drolton.
Yeah.
9 years ago, and... You'll be joining us at the City of Manchester Wrestling.
Yeah, well, do you know what? We may as well talk about it on here, because I was trying to game plan, like, what do you do? With a year to focus, I'm not going to go and become an awesome Thai boxer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just try and polish the hands up a little bit enough to not get my face kicked in. And I'm going to focus on grappling.
Yeah.
I'm going to get an unstoppable shot, and I'm going to have a decent top game, a sweep, because I'm not going to bother doing anything else apart from trying to sweep off the bottom, and a couple of subs from the top, and that is it.
You have to.
Because that's all I'm going to be able to focus on. Yeah. So that's, you know, I am going to look to grapple. So I'll probably be trying to grapple 3-4 times a week, I imagine, once we get into the
very, very good place to come there. Like I said yesterday, took Dan for the first time. He was well looked after. I had a great session. Just,
was it the Y? Was it yesterday?
No, City of Manchester. That's where you should go.
It's
the City of Manchester Wrestling. The Y Club's great. I trained there for years, but the level of coaching at City of Manchester is much more structured. And did you go Y Club? Yeah.
Yeah.
A few times. So was it a bit crazy?
I think everybody going through Y Club.
Did you get shouted at?
Who's the Iranian? That's about 5'6" and about 8 foot wide.
Yeah, that's Moorsman. Shout out to Moorsman.
Fucking hell. He was a bouncer.
Dukes. Absolute animal. Love that guy. Loads of love for Mo.
Just getting shouted at. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
So, yeah.
I don't know what I'm trying.
This will be the perfect place, yeah.
Manchester Wrestling Club.
Manchester Wrestling Club. And especially when you start MMA, you need to be no wrestler. Wrestling's the number one thing. If you need to know one thing, if I had to pick one thing that you could have, it has to be wrestling.
That's it. I know enough to know that. I got to push in one area, and the area to push is to be able to grapple and control where this fight's going to be. Yeah. You know, there's a very good chance I come up against someone that's just going to be levels above me in striking. I'm not going to be able to close the gap on anybody in 12 months on someone with outrageous striking enough to stand and trade with someone. Yeah. So I just fucking get on the mat and just fucking see what happens.
Yeah, grappling beats anything. Anything. Yeah. Oh, you have to be like round fighter.
Yeah.
You have to be round. Like, for example, Brendan, takedown defense. It's like nobody in UK like have this cage. You know, he's wrestling freestyle is different, but if you try to take him down in a cage, you not take him down. It's like, he's like, you have to understand not just wrestling, actual wrestling, but it's inside the cage. It's
very,
like,
different.
It's very different.
Very different.
You know, like, sometimes I couldn't take guys down. Like, I'm a wrestler, I couldn't take, like, strikers down because they have, like, they understand the movements. Yeah, and I was like, what's this guy up to? Like, let's wrestle on a free mat. I smash him up and then I think something different there.
The cage is your friend.
Cage,
you're using the cage. What are you doing?
Just massively.
Just spreading your base and just keep moving.
Yes, this guy, like,
he
just
it.
Plays if you comes out, you know.
This from an alliance thing.
I've literally sat on that cage in drills for not even bigging it up. 25-30 minutes and still, I had to just go right, I'll get off the cage. I don't know, it's just something that I knew growing up that MMA is heading towards these wrestlers, because I was a striker. Yeah. Well, I started MMA, but I knew that my forte was striking. I got a lot of knockout. I thought, you better learn how to wrestle, because as you get higher, nobody ain't going to stand with you. So
your style as well, you know the reaction when someone going to shoot on him. So it's like, you know, all guys who fought against Khabib, they don't have style same as him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's interesting, you know. Like I was thinking this. There's Tony Ferguson, and of the movement. If you move against wrestler, nobody can
Tony,
take you down.
How do you think Tony does? I think Tony's the biggest threat. I still don't know if he beats him, but I think he's the biggest threat.
100%. I think 100%. Imagine
those elbows off the bottom.
Elbows, does choke.
Scrambling.
The forward rolls, like,
he doesn't know what he's going to do.
This guy crazy.
Elbows like this, like...
He's mental, isn't he? Like, legit mental.
He was doing live stream yesterday on Instagram. He was four hours. He had to repeat, like, four times the live stream on Instagram because you can't do only 1 hour.
What was he doing?
So he was, like, picking the dumbbell, slamming... Picking
four
the homies.
Four
hours. Imagine this. I was like, 1 hour gone, I was watching a little bit come out of his last stream, like, looking time, he's still there. And in the gym, imagine this. And then at the fourth round, he threw the dummy out of the ring.
How'd you beat a guy like that?
Because he's scrappy, isn't he? So he leaves home.
Yeah, he's been, you know, he got dropped by Pettis, isn't he?
This only the guy who's actually going to shoot at Khabib.
He got dropped, rolled, and then went for a leg lock.
He might shoot on Khabib.
The only guy who can shoot at Khabib, I think.
Well, he'll shoot and go for like an Imanari roll or something.
Somebody
like that,
said something interesting the other day that they think Gaethje has a chance.
Against Khabib? No. Did you see what Dustin did with Gaethje?
You can't think of it like that, though.
I know.
It's because I reckon Conor probably beats Tony. But I think Tony beats Khabib, and Khabib obviously just murks Conor every single time he comes up against him. And I think if the UFC truly wanted to make money, just run that in that order every single time.
Make a tournament there.
Basically just be like, all right, now he's fighting him. All right, now he's fighting him. And just...
If Conor go to Russia and fight there, that would be like massive.
What would it be like?
Any ticket you sell, what price?
Over there, though?
Maybe they have to take him with helicopters.
Can imagine he walks
straight out of cage, you know, like you have to take helicopters.
It's one of them where you get on the mic and go, sauce.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, bye. Might be bye.
No, you have to just teleport him straight up from the cage. Right, on that note, thanks a lot for coming, Mo. Yeah, really appreciate your time.
Let us know where you're fighting in 10 days.
10 days.
Bowlers, still available?
Yeah, 28th of September, yeah.
And we're going for a first round finish?
First round. Yeah, but I'm ready for 5 rounds. I make this guy tired anytime.
Like excuses to me.
5 rounds, no problem.
Easy any work. 5 rounds, any if you want extra round, I give it.
Right, go follow Mohammed.
Make sure you come to the fight. If you're from Manchester, come and show your support. Andrew Devent is putting on a great show. All the local Manchester fighters are on there. And if you're really behind this MMA thing, then get down. I'll be there.
One more next week. Yeah. Before. You bugger off to Las Vegas.
2 weeks time. 2 weeks yesterday, I fly off to Vegas. I'm going to be fighting, so we're going to have one more next week.
And we'll figure out who we're going to next week then, don't we?
Yeah, better get on it. If you have any suggestions of who you want, let us know for next week and I'll contact them.
Yeah, stick it in the comments and we'll get in touch with them. But thank you guys for watching. Make sure to give both of these guys a follow and we'll see you in the next one. Laters.